then it might not be a great idea. Man could get himself hurt with bad hearing. You understand me, Rufus?
You can put your blaster back, Mr. Carter. I understand you. But if anyone else around the Ville misheard when your friend was born, it might be harmful. Do you understand me?
Ryan considered the store runner thoughtfully. Questions about Rick would lead to questions about the rest of them. Where have you come from? Where exactly did you leave your wag? How did you get here? Not the kind of questions that outlanders welcomed in a small Ville, however friendly some of its inhabitants might be.
Yeah, I understand. Guess we might both take some real good care.
Christie tugged at the sleeve of his jacket.
Ryan, look!
Rick Ginsburg, the dusty, leather-bound book open in his hands, had sat down on the floor. His eyes were wide and staring, and tears coursed down his cheeks. Ryan could see he had been looking at an illustration of a large black bird. Rick's lips were moving, and he kept repeating the same word.
Nevermore. Nevermore. Nevermore.
It was a cold evening in Snakefish. Only Doc and Lori had eaten in the dining room of their boarding house. The others had taken their suppers upstairs on trays, all sharing the room where Rick lay in a frightening, almost catatonic trance. He still held the Edgar Allan Poe book. Ryan had tried once to remove it from his hands, but Ginsburg had wailed like a lost soul and tried to bite him on the wrist. There had been little time for Ryan to debrief JB and Jack. Rufus Brennan had been the soul of kindly discretion, helping Christie and Ryan to carry the weeping man across to the renter room, bustling him up the stairs before too many prying eyes could see him. There was a log fire laid in the grate, and the armorer had used a pyrotab to get it blazing, filling the curtained room with bright, crackling heat. Despite that, Rick didn't seem able to stop himself from shivering. His fingers opened and closed, and his teeth chattered together. They decided to leave on his newly purchased clothes, piling on a couple of blankets for good measure. Doc had asked Ruby Rayner to send up an enamel pot of hot, sweetened tea, explaining that their friend had suffered something of a shock and needed to be kept warm. The woman had been eager to help, offering her prayers and wondering whether the accident might prevent poor Mr. Ginsburg from joining everyone at the service the next day. After she'd been ushered from the room, Ryan turned to JB.
Find anything out?
Sure. Friendly folk. Talk to you about everything. Just as long as it's the weather, or are we comfortable with Ma Rayner here. Soon as you ask them anything about how the Ville's run and how the gas is produced and processed and traded.
And mouths clam like snap-trap.
You see the plant?
Sure, Ryan. No guards. Drillings are all to the east and north. Brought in tank wags. Pumped and then purified. Stored in all kinds of barrels and tanks. Kind of careless. So much gas there that a single burner grand would set half the country on fire.
Saw bikers again, Zombie and others. Said could ride with them, maybe after snake service tomorrow. Seem okay.
Ryan glanced at the armorer, seeking confirmation of the young boy's judgment of the last heroes. But JB pursed his lips and said nothing, which was as good as saying everything. But at that moment, their attention was taken by Rick.
I'm 11 years old in 3 weeks. My full name is Richard Neal Ginsburg, and I was born March 22, 1970. I live in New York City, which is in New York State, which is the best of all the United States of America, the land of the free. I have a pet turtle who's real old and lives all the time with his head buried in the mud of his tank, and his name's Tricky Dicky. I guess he's real boring. My dad's name is Jack Ginsburg, and he worked as an accountant in a big office on 6th Avenue. Mom's name is Naomi, and she doesn't do any work. She's like a housewife.
Little prick.
I play softball, and I watch football, and I like the New York Giants best of all. When I grow up, I'm going to be a quarterback and pitch for the Yankees and maybe also work as an accountant. I haven't decided yet, but I'm real good at math.
Doc and Lori came into the room, closing the door behind them. They stood at the foot of the bed, listening.
Looks fucking stoop. Look at his eyes all staring.
I fear our newly thawed comrade has regressed to his childhood. It was always something of a gamble. I had been delighted with how well he had coped with his blind leap into our future, but now I see how fragile his hold on our reality is.
Reality sandwiches.
A tremulous, sickly smile clutched at the corners of Rick's bloodless lips. The fingers of his left hand played with the frayed edge of the gray blankets, while his right hand kept its deftly grip on the leather-bound volume of Poe.
What if I deck him, Doc? Short rack cross to the point of the jaw could snap him right out of it.
Could snap him further into it. How about if we get some sleepers from the woman? Feed him some of those, and maybe he'll be fine when he comes around.
Rick seemed able to hear what was being said, and somehow translated into fragments from his past.
Round and round the little wheel goes, and where it stops nobody knows. Not me, and not my mom, nor my dad, nor my beloved grandmother, Agnes LaCincha. She's a wise woman. She lives somewhere over the rainbow in Kansas. Fucking Kansas. Shouldn't say that. Fucking get my mouth washed out with soap and water. Fucking bastard. Fucking prick.
Gotta do something, Ryan. He crazy as sunblind gator.
Yeah, sure. Anyone got any ideas?
Rambo, Bimbo, Dumbo, Crambo, Wilco, Dildo.
I could... I've never really tried to do it for anything like this, but Mother Sonia taught me ways of using the force of the Earth Mother for healing, setting a mind to peace. I could try.
Try it, babe.
The rest of you go out. I've got to have privacy and quiet for this.
It could work. In my day, I was known as something of an apostle of alternative medicine.
Out, Doc. I'll give you a game of Kiowa if we can get a deck of cards.
The others left, with Ryan bringing up the rear. Rick was still chattering away to himself on the bed.
The premature burial. That was always my fear, my terror. To slip into a coma and yet not be dead. Folks not realizing that I still lived. Breathing slow, but living. The box closing. Eyes shut, but still seeing. The softness of the silken shroud embracing the cold skin. The lid lowering. A loose thread of cotton trailing against the corner of your mouth, tickling you for all eternity. A spider buried with you, seeking somewhere to spin its web and lay its eggs. In your ear, burrowing inward. Gestation, birth, 1,000 tiny spiders eating inward into your living brain. Living and feeling, but paralyzed and helpless.
Christy sat on the bed, reaching to hold Rick's palsied left hand in both of hers.
It'll be all right. Quiet and easy, brother. You've got so much pain inside you, Rick. Gotta let it out of you.
Locked in the box. One time around, then they put the lid down on you. John said that. John Stewart said that. He didn't know what it was like. My body trapped me. Locking and tensing and falling in the tiredness. Bells of hell, the tiredness. I wanted to rest and get away. That's why I agreed to let them do it to me. Knew it wouldn't work. Didn't care. The gateway's being used for war. Instant soldiers here and there. Oh, fuck. I hated that. Locked the lid down on the box. Goodbye to pain forever. Then they woke me up. Woke me healed and new. Not now. Not ever. Nevermore. Nevermore.
Christy systematically began to clear her mind, using the techniques that her mother had taught her long ago in the Ville of Harmony. When she was under great stress, she was able to harness the earth power, giving herself a cataclysmic strength for a few moments, but using it drained her for hours after. This was different. The healing way had nothing to do with dissolution. She focused on